And welcome to Giants Big Blue Kickoff Live, everybody. Paul DeTino and Jeff Fiegels with you here on Giants.com. We are here every Monday through Friday from 12 noon Eastern time till 1 p.m. to take your phone calls and talk New York Giants football. You can hit us up on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat or dial us in at 201-939-4513. Don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Jeff, it has been a long time since we have partnered up. I feel like I'm your long-lost, long snapper.
No, you're not that good. No, just kidding. Oh. No, but it's been a long time. Yeah, and it's good to catch up with you, Paulie. You know, we're slowly inching in our way into football season, and it's all about you know, coming out of the draft now and seeing these players. You and I just had lunch. We were able to get a little bit of quick look at some of the guys walking around, and once again, trying to learn new numbers, new names, trying to put their positions together, where these guys are going to play. I think that Spags on defense is kind of the guys we saw today. We're looking out there. There's a lot of guys kind of playing multiple positions, and I think that's more from a learning standpoint than anything, just trying to get these guys to understand how that defense works. But it's exciting, and I'm always excited to come here on Friday because there's a lot of news. There's a lot of things that happen during the week, and we can catch up with it. And as we get closer to the OTAs, then this team's going to start shaping up a little bit about, you know, what it's all about.
Yeah, this is bookwork time.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Everybody's got to get hit in the books as hard as they can.
And that's important.
Big time. You got to know what you're going to do on the field before you can do it.
And I'm telling you, and Coach McAdoo had mentioned it in one of his press conferences, is the fact that if you don't, you just get passed over now. They don't wait for nobody.
Nope.
They just keep going. And for anybody that knows, you know, football, once you get behind, it's tough to catch up. It's just like kind of guys in school. You know, if you get behind, it's tough to get caught up. So, and the terminology, and they start, you know, packing it in. And by the time you get to what a lot of people don't know about what works right now and into OTAs is they start introducing the offense and the defense and the special teams, and they're in the playbook, they're in the meeting rooms, they're installing the offense and defense. There's going to be some changes coming out of offseason, both offensively, defensively, and special teams. The coordinators are putting their little tweaks on what they learned last year and what they're going to implement this year.
And they're testing the players, too. Don't forget that.
There's no question. They have to. And then what's funny about that is that when you get to training camp, now you have a little bit of an acceleration of learning, but they start over. They start again from the beginning because there's guys in training camp that haven't been here for the OTA sometime. Mm-hmm. So if you get in the books now and you learn your position and your defense or whatever it is, you're going to get another crash course on it as soon as training camp starts again. They'll start from the beginning. So a lot of times they don't let these guys take their playbooks outside of this facility when they leave. For obvious reasons.
I think they're tablets now.
Well,
I don't
tablets.
Even think they're playbooks anymore.
Yeah, you know what? You're
old
right.
Time Jeff
well,
Eagles.
Yeah, they are tablets. Yeah, okay, that's fine. They don't get their tablets taken out here, but you know, they let them study as much as they can now, and their retention level is – and that's the other thing too, Paul. You know, these guys take off for 5 weeks before they come back.
Yeah.
And so if I'm one of those guys, I'm writing as many notes as I can, and I'm writing everything down so that when I have to turn my tablet in, at least I have this, that I have something on it, you know?
So. How true. Paul DeTino and Jeff Fiegels with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live. For those of you who have been watching us on Twitter Live, we're going to say so long, but you can watch the rest of the program in its entirety over on Giants.com. Once again, www.giants.com. The rest of the program, Big Blue Kickoff Live, and coming up in the final quarter hour of the show, we will have Redskins radio play-by-play man Larry Michaels to join us to talk about what the Redskins did at the draft as well as the rest of the NFC East. Well, folks, once again, Big Blue Kickoff Live, Paul DeTino and Jeff Fiegels, 201-939-4513 is our phone number, hashtag Giants Chat. Glad you could join us today. We'll be here till the top of the hour to talk about Giants football. Now, Jeff, one of the things that I wanted to mention is that you know, it's great to see Zach Diassi here after his wrist procedure.
Yeah.
We talked about at the end of the season, Giants had to go out and get another long snapper at the very end of the year because he had had a lot of wear and tear. And I remember I said to you, how does that happen? And you said, hey, think about the snaps he's taken over the years.
Oh, of course.
This is a pliable joint.
Hello. Yeah, you need your hands to snap.
So how important is it for the special teams unit that Zach was able to undergo the procedure, and it looks like his rehab to this point, all systems are go. I see him around here, and he seems to be fine.
Oh, I think it's huge because you can't replace experience. You know, I mean, the young guy that from Harvard that replaced him last year, I've seen him snap. He's a good snapper, but he doesn't have a lot of playing experience like Zach. And Zach's special teams captain. He's got leadership skills. He's got coverage skills. There's no better cover snapper in the league than Zach. I mean, he gets down there and makes tackles, being that linebacker that he was drafted for. So, yeah, and he just has to be careful because a lot of times what happens is you start feeling really good.
Right.
And then you want to go out there and do a little bit more.
You push it.
You push it. And you don't want to take a step back. And so I think that there'll be, a good little competition at that snapping position this year, to be honest with you. And I feel like both of these guys can do a good job. But Zach, by far, you know, he's a leader of that special team, and it's important to have him back.
It's also interesting that some weeks ago, and we have not talked since, Jeff, so if I'm repeating myself on the program with you folks, just bear with me a minute. But Josh Brown, who had a sensational season last year, we know about how over the previous 2 years he broke the Giants' record for consecutive field goals made, and you know, this franchise has been around a long time, so that is no weak record by any stretch of the imagination. It's legit. And he also hit a bunch of over 50. This guy, I'll be honest with you, I like having him around, and I have to believe that Coach McAdoo, as a rookie head coach, must have been not only instrumental in having him come back, but he's just got to feel so good to know that that's an area of the team he doesn't have to worry about.
Well, it just goes to show you that, you know, and Josh is not a young man anymore.
No.
But he keeps himself in excellent condition. He's mentally strong, which is what you need from a kicker. But, you know, he loves his job. He takes it seriously. And, you know, kickers and punters, hence me, you can play into your late 30s and early 40s as long as you stay in shape and you do the things that the team wants you to do, okay? And what I mean by that is that, you know, if Josh, his leg still is pretty strong. It's not the strongest in the league, but he's there to score points. And sure enough, you know, the kickoff one day is going to be eliminated, in my opinion. But, you know, as long as he's driving home them field goals inside 40 yards, as long as I've been around in special teams, a special teams coach, their formula for all kickers is inside 40 yards, you need to be a 100%. Okay, that number now has gone out to about 43 yards because of the mm-hmm. of the way the accuracies have gone up in the National Football League. But if you took a statistic, and Josh Brown included, from all these kickers throughout the league, from 40 yards in, you're probably going to get in the high 90s, middle to high 90s as far as their accuracy rate.
Well, so. You know, I had this conversation with I think it was John or Lance in one of the recent shows that – the NFL average make or average accuracy on overall field goals, not talking about yardage now,
sure.
is like 84%.
Sure.
Jeff, let's go back to even before you got into the league. I'm going about early 70s. Guys were making the Pro Bowl at 65% accuracy.
I was going to say, at the 70, it was probably 70% back then. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you guys are all robo-kickers now.
Well, what has happened is a lot of things have happened. They've gotten better. They've gotten bigger. They've gotten stronger. All these kids, even though they're in the pros now, they've started younger. They have kicking camps where these kids are starting in ninth grade. They're getting the fundamentals and techniques down so that by the time they're in their high school, you know, my son is, as you know, is a punter in high school, and we go to all these kicking camps. Do you know that the high school kicking camps that we're going to, the
right.
competition phase of it, these kids are making 62-yard field goals. In high school.
62.
I've seen 65-yard field goals out of high school kids.
Now, I'm going to guess, though, that's artificial turf, which has an impact also.
It's artificial turf, and the ball is on a stand, and he's sitting there, and it, and the ball is not brand new. It's, you know, it's like, you know, it's been out in the rain and in the mud for years. But the fact is that they're – my point is they're getting bigger, stronger,
that's
and their
crazy.
Techniques. So, yeah. You know, and the high school football – field goal records are getting they're being broke every year, you know, as far as distance and accuracy and things like that. So and that's just not, you think about this, Paul, that's just not kicking and punting. It's in all phases of the game.
Yeah,
these guys are going to camps, they're getting coached better, and they're off season, they're during their in season workouts, they're lifting, all that stuff is equating to better football players. And it's more competition for these guys coming out of college or going into college for these spots, because all of them are doing the same thing. There was only a few people that did things differently back in the day. Now everybody collectively is doing it all together. You know, these off-season workout programs, you got all these speed training facilities and all this stuff that's all scientifically put out there, or how to improve your speed and those things. All these kids are going to that.
I'm gonna ask you to expand on this in just a second. I want to remind folks, though, you can hit us up on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat, or 201-939-4513. We'll be here till the top of the hour, so don't be afraid to join in. I want to build on that for a second, though, because, again, we haven't done a show in so long.
Yeah.
People talk about the NFL Combine, and there are those folks, and I'm included, who believe that it's your game tape that's the most significant, and the Combine and whatever you do with the Combine, maybe a small percentage of your grade, of your folder. But I'm going to tell you something. As much tape as I watch, and as much as I really study this stuff, I don't study the kickers, and I don't study the punters.
Nobody
I'm going to
is.
Admit that to you. And I'm sorry if you want to punch me in the mouth. But I don't study the kickers and the punters. I don't.
Yeah.
Part of the reason is...
Loser.
Well, part of the reason is I believe that there's usually enough of an available pool of free agents in the NFL, because kickers and punters seem to change teams a lot,
sure.
And they always seem to be available, that you can get a proven guy without necessarily having to go to the draft to do it.
Right.
And quite frankly, if you look at the Giants over the years, very rarely have they gone to the draft kicker or for a punter. It just doesn't happen.
I mean, and there's every once in a while, you'll get the Janikowski drafted in the first round. You got this kid from Florida State this year that was taken in the second round. You know, these are guys that are they're anomalies. You know, they don't come around that often. Well, listen, ironically, they both came from FSU.
Yeah.
Which could never make a field goal against Miami. So they've gotten better in that category.
Yes, they have. And you knew he was going to throw that in there, Hurricane guy. You knew that was going to happen.
I will tell you that, you know, in that situation, that kid from Florida State is the all-time, you know, leader in field goal. I mean, the kid doesn't miss.
Kickoffs are a little suspect.
Yeah, but you know what? The kickoffs are okay. I mean, it's just, you know, that part of the game is so, it's going away.
It's different now,
It's going away. Yeah. So we'll see.
But I guess my question that I really wanted to set up with that long introduction was, when you look at kickers and punters, how much of a grade do you think the combine is as opposed to other positions where, my God, if a wide receiver runs a 4.65, all of a sudden he drops two rounds because he's not 4.4.
Right.
It's huge.
I think that there's a little bit to be gained at the combine, but not a lot. I really believe that the combine is all about interviewing the players, getting to see them in person, get them to respond to some questioning, and really get the measurables on these guys, their own measurables. You know, you can get all these rosters that come out in college and high school, they're never correct. The height and weight, right?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, you know. So the NFL, that's where they're going to get the true measurables on these guys. And then I believe that, you know, some of them can improve their stock. But I really believe, and I agree this, I think that what you see on tape, and I think the pro day is a better evaluation in my mind, because you give the kid a chance to be at his own school, a little bit more comfortable, a little bit less stressful, and that he could really perform at a level in his own backyard than going somewhere and into the dome somewhere. And you know, and that's a meat market, that place. They're shuttling these guys through, you know, all day. And I'm not sitting there, you know, crying for him. It's just, it's a lot of work, but, you know,
a lot of money at stake.
And I will tell you that the draft, the combine for kickers and punters, since we're on this today.
Yeah, please.
I believe that has a lot more credence in it than some of the other players, because the guys that get invited there are the top guys in the league, and there's only usually two or three guys that are drafted every year anyways. So this is where they get a chance to kick NFL balls.
Okay.
And they're in front of all the special teams coaches, and they get a true measure on those types of players, the kickers and punters and snappers.
Okay, well, that's good stuff. 201-939-4513. That's why I ask him. He's Jeff Eagles, and you know, I gotta tell you, it's funny because during the season, Jeff and I host a Q&A in the coaches' club after the games. You know, it's part of the whole WOR Channel 9 Giants postgame show, and the funny part about that is, we don't always get questions about the game. Sometimes people will ask these more generic questions.
Sure.
And I love having Jeff there because that's where I just defer.
and he does it well, too.
No,
me.
Not always. Sometimes I step a little too far.
It kind of goes something like this. Okay, Jeff, why don't you answer that? And then Paul's like this. Okay, he's just trying to get the stats on the game. And this and that, you know.
But it's good stuff. I do digress, though, because I think sometimes the big picture stuff gets lost in what we're doing.
Sure.
And we don't get into that, but it is important, and it does relate to the overall scope of the game.
And what is important is that, you know, and what I do here, and whether it's on the pre or the post game or our show in the coaches club, is the fact that, you know, try to bring the player's perspective to a lot of the stuff that we talk about, because, you know, when you've been around as long as I have, in as many locker rooms and in as many games and coaching staffs, you understand how things work behind the scenes. And a lot of people don't ever get that type of, you know, picture. And that's what I like to bring to the fans and everybody that's listening or watching, is that, you know, this is what happens behind the scenes. Just like today, I told you, not many people probably knew that they start over in training camp with their playbooks, you know. So it's just little things like that we like to bring to the table and let everybody understand how it works in the boiler room, we call it.
Well, I got another boiler room question for you, because apparently we're having some trouble with the phone lines. 201-939-4513. I got another situational question for you.
Okay.
Undrafted rookie free agents.
Yep.
Now,
like me.
Okay. Well, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
If you don't remember, folks, University of Miami Hurricanes, Jeff Eagles, okay, came out, did not get drafted, and of course, like so many other guys who want to live the NFL dream, now you have to peddle your wares. You and your agent, you're deciding on, hey, where am I going to try out? Whose call am I going to take? What what spot looks like it's realistic for me to make a team?
Yep.
Okay. So the Giants had a bunch of these kids in, these tryouts, these rookie undrafted free agent tryouts, who are coming in with their little bags and their whatever they got with them, and it's like, I just want a shot.
And they're getting it. They're here.
So put the folks in the mentality of what it is to be one of those guys walking into a facility like this with eyes wide open, probably like a deer in headlights, thinking, oh, my God, look at this. It's the New York Giants. It's the NFL. But yet they don't have time to worry. They don't have time to stress.
No,
they don't do something within 24 hours, they may not be here.
Yeah, and they, you know, you have to put that behind you and understand that this is now a job. You're no longer in school. This is a job. You're applying for a job, and they're giving you, you know, what might be 48 hours, if you think, by the time they get here and when it's over, to give us your physical resume. Let me see what you can do on the field, okay? And then what
and you can't hit, by the way.
No, there's no hitting.
So,
but I mean,
you know, there's only limited stuff you can show.
The biggest, I think, indicators to me from the free agent guys that come in here, these undrafted guys, okay, is obviously the measurables. Okay, we look at those, and that one of the reasons why they're in that camp is because they don't have something. They don't have the size. They don't have the speed. Or they would have been drafted. They may have been coming off an injury where now they've rehabbed and they're okay, but, you know, nobody wanted to take a chance on drafting them. That's the first thing. The second thing is intelligence. Intelligence, intelligence, intelligence. Nobody wants a dumb football player. Okay. And, you know, I know they don't have playbooks anymore, Paul. They have the
tablets.
Okay. But you remember. Do you remember back in the day when these guys were walking through the halls and the playbook was this thick? Okay. I didn't think they made binders that big.
I'm with him. I remember seeing this. I can attest. He's telling you the truth. It was like the supermarket encyclopedias. You remember those suckers?
Thick, yeah. And heavy. And, but they give these guys a chance to show if they can take it from the classroom to the football field. And the coaches put them through testing. When you say testing, they're testing these guys to see how they can retain what they're learning in the classroom and then putting it on the football field. Because that's what football is every day in this building during the season. It's install of this on one day, install of this on the second day, situations on this day. You take it from the classroom and you go and practice it on the field. There's no surprises about anything at practice. They're going over what they're doing in the classroom, and then they play it on the field. Now, that's where these guys have to excel, Paul. They have to be able to take it. And if you read some of the articles and some of the things that the coaches have been saying about the players that were here, these are the types of players that they keep. The guys that are going to be – they can listen and they can learn and then go out there and put it on the field. Now, their measurables may be just a little bit back, but the coaches are saying, you know what, I got a guy I can trust that's going to put me in the right coverage, or he's going to run the right route, or he's going to call the right protection. Those are very important components. Now, they're a long shot. They all are. They're all a long shot.
Sure.
I mean, when you think about the roster and you go from A to Z – and there's, what do the Giants keep? Five guys off that minicamp? Four or five guys?
Well, chances are by the time they go to opening day, I'm not going to be shocked if they have as many as three of those guys who might even make the team this year, because they got a good crop of those guys.
Then,
but the odds are still long.
Well, sure, you got three guys. Three out of how many people were here? I mean, there had to
well,
be over.
There's a 90-man roster right now.
Yeah, but I mean, how many guys
were 80-man roster
how
right
many
now?
Guys were here for that free agent undrafted camp? There had to be 50 guys here.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah, sure.
And you just said there might be three guys that make the team. Well, you know,
that's high.
That's a long – yeah, that's high, you know. And I'll tell you, real quickly, I went through this same thing when I came out of college. And I just basically went in there and played better than the other guy. And it was all about timing, too. Trust me, timing is a big part of this, you know, especially in the kicking and the punting and in any position for that matter, is that – you know, is one guy making a lot of money, and do I see like an upside to maybe this undrafted guy? So, you know, a lot of it goes into it, but it's very difficult to be undrafted free agent and make. And there are plenty of them that have done well and been to Pro Bowl,
sure,
and stuff like that. But
Victor Cruz,
exactly. So
the other thing I want to point out to folks too, and Dave, did we lose Eli on the phone line? We lost him. Okay, I'm not sure if our lines are working or not. So 201-939-4513, give us a call. We'll try to get you in right away because our lines are open. I'm not sure exactly if we're having technical problems.
There's a Twitter stuff,
but
too.
Please do. We can go. We should go to Twitter for sure. Let's see what we got there. But I did want to ask one more question about this because a lot of people don't understand when they see a guy's name in the paper and they see that he's coming to rookie minicamp, whether it be as a tryout or, if he signed, it's differently. But if he's a tryout, and then all of a sudden they see he went to another team, what they have to understand is that these undrafted rookie free agent tryouts, you're under no obligation or restriction to a given team. You can actually come and try out for three or four different teams depending upon when their minicamps are.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's entirely possible. For example, the Giants are having their rookie minicamp this week. The Eagles have one coming up now that's just starting, I believe, on Monday, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it's tomorrow. So you could have been with the Giants for a couple of days as a tryout, and you could be with the Eagles next week as a tryout.
Yeah, because your ultimate as an undrafted rookie free agent, your ultimate goal is to them to offer you a contract. And
exactly.
Once you sign the contract, now you're on the roster. And that's why what Paul said, there's 90 guys on the roster. So, you know, and with that number, Paul, anybody now that comes on the roster, somebody's got to go. So that game has now begun.
Right.
One off, one on, two off, you know, whatever it is. So, and there's constant evaluation going on in this building, both for undrafted free agents, guys on the roster, continuous, you know, and really when we've talked about this over and over on Big Blue Kickoff is that, you know, where are the offensive linemen? Where are they coming from? Well, you know, don't be surprised that very soon as that there could be something happening with a lot of these contracts, and there, some of the veterans can be getting released soon.
Well, June 1st is a big day for
June 1st is a big day. I also read about maybe – I think it might be the – it might be today, the 13th. There's something with some contracts. I'm not always up to date on that stuff, but something has to do with if you're released after this date, it doesn't count as acceleration or something. I don't know what it is, but it's coming up, guys. It's coming up.
Well, there could be roster bonuses involved in some of these deals, and that's what you're talking about. All right, looks like our phones are up and working now. So glad to do that. Alex from Sacramento, California.
Nice.
You are first on the program. Hello.
Linda Valley.
All right, fellas. How you doing today?
Good to talk to you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Nice to be on. I've been a long time listener, first time caller.
Good stuff. Well, we're glad you made it through.
Appreciate it. Well, yeah, I just thought I'd take advantage of Fiegels being there, Jeff.
Sure.
You know, I just had something I've been wondering about for a little while. You know, you had a wonderful talent at directional kicks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we're trying to pin somebody, say, know, between the end zone and the 10 or something like that. And I've been wondering, you know, I've been seeing this broadly, and I saw this in Weatherford last year, where it seemed like, broadly speaking, I don't see enough punters, in my opinion, taking a shot at these directional kicks. It's almost like treated like it's some sort of super skill that only amazing punters can do. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you hit it right in the nail on the head.
They got to have a big S on their chest underneath their shirts to be able to do it.
That is, you know.
So it seems to me like is it a combo of skills and the guts to go for it, or the special team coordinator saying, I don't trust my guy to, you know,
sure,
between the 15 and the goal line. And so many times you see these guys just kick it right to the center of the field, and it's a fair catch at the 15 or something like that. And I just wondered what you think. Like, you know, can you talk about that?
Yeah, no,
bit?
Alex,
like
thank you, thank you for
you need to share with people what's going on.
Well, listen, it's the reason you don't see it is because it's not practiced. Okay, so there's not a lot of directional kicking in college. These kids are just taught to catch the ball and kick it. And even for the veteran guys, to give you an idea, it took me about 8 to 9 years to learn how to directional kick, with consistency. That's the biggest thing. And that's why the coaches are afraid to do it, because of the consistency. Because here's the problem. If you are going to kick the ball to the right side of the field and you don't have a guy that can do that, your whole coverage team is running to the right. And if I kick the ball down the middle of the field, that coverage team now has to get back into a different lane, and by the time the guy catches it, the whole other side of the field is wide open. So, you know, that's why you don't see a lot of it going on, because the guys can't consistently put it there. And how do you get to that? It's practice, and it's and being confident to do it in the game. And a lot of guys don't have that confidence, so they'd rather just try to get, you know, do what they do well, and then as they get a little bit older, and then they start to fine-tune their skill, then they can start doing a little bit more directional. What you're seeing in college football and in the pros has been the evolution of the Australian rules kick. And what these guys are doing is it's a little bit easier of a kick to place, especially that inside the 20 kick that the coffin corner that I used to do. I'll tell you one thing. If I knew how to do this Australian rules kick back in the day, it would have been even better than what I was doing before, because it's
really
it's very, very,
you were a surgeon.
Yeah, but
though,
what I'm saying is what I did was difficult to do, because you're kicking balls like a normal punt. This is not a normal punt. This is a ball that you can only kick 35 or 40 yards, and you know that's only as far as it's going to go.
Right.
So if I'm sitting out on the 50-yard line, I know that I can just bang this thing as hard as I want, and it's going to go out at the 5 or 10-yard line.
Yeah, but see, you were such a scientist at the coffin corner kick. I don't know that you would have been better at the rugby kick. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
your
proficiency
was so good.
I felt comfortable doing it. And
right.
I knew exactly to the point where I knew that. I knew the trajectory of the football. I knew how it was going to turn over and hit and go to the right. That took time. And you know what? And I say this because I love to do it. Obviously, you know. I mean, I love to practice it. In fact, to the point where my coaches would be, you need to stop. you're kicking too much. I'm like, I just love this. It's almost like going to the driving range. You got a bucket of balls there, man. You got 200 bucket of balls, and you're like, you run out, and I got to get more.
That was Don Mattingly in a batting cage. Same way.
Yeah, I just couldn't get enough of it. As I got older, I had to get smarter But as I got older, I did get smarter and knew that I didn't have to do right. as many kicks. So it's a great question. And
it is.
You know, thank you, Alex. And I appreciate your loving the skill that I showed. And I just listen. Thanks for listening and being a big Giants fan.
Back to the calls in one quick second. Want to tell you Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Joe from New York, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hello. How you doing, Jeff and Paul? How
good, Joe.
Great.
Great to be talking to the punter and the Paizan today.
I love it.
We got the two P's.
We need to rename our post-game Q&A, the punter and the Paizan.
I
love it.
Two quick things I wanted to talk to you guys about.
That's
first
good.
And foremost, Jeff was talking before about the June 1st cuts. I believe the June 1st cuts count towards compensation for compensatory picks in the following year's draft. I think that's the formula.
Oh, you know what? I think this one in May, the May date, I believe, is what you're talking about. That's my
right, the May.
Yes,
the May.
Not the June 1st one. Yeah.
Right.
No, that's
okay.
right.
And
the June 1st is a very important cap date.
I mean, every other caller is calling about our offensive line. The offensive line, the right side isn't help. You know, we need help there. Why aren't we making moves? I did a quick calculation. 90-man roster for training camp. 53 is the final number. That means at the end of this of training camp, there's going to be 1,184 guys left on the street available for any team to pick up. If we can't find someone to fill that right side out of that group of people, then we have the wrong GM.
Well, understand this, that offensive tackles who are pretty good don't usually find themselves on the street. Understand
right.
that. If you're pretty good, they're finding right. a way to keep you.
Right. But, you know, there's going to be salary cap cuts. There's going to be people.
There will be.
Know, the teams are always looking to get cheaper, younger, and better. So there's going to be veterans out there that have the skill set that can fit the needs that we need to make our offensive line good.
Correct.
Just be patient. Trust in our brain. Trust that they're going to do what they need to do, that we're competitive on the field every Sunday, Thursday, and Monday.
In years past, guys like Sean Locklear and Bob Whitfield fit that bill for the Giants.
There you go. And I'm telling you, if you listen to this show on every Friday when I'm here for the last 2-3 months, I've been telling everybody this, okay? Coming out of the draft, they didn't know linemen, right? Okay, well, they have a plan. They're not sitting up there twiddling their thumbs going, what do we do now? They have a plan, people. And so you're right. You have to be patient. Be patient. You know, a lot of people would have loved to maybe get one in there or two in the draft, but it didn't happen. So we are here today on Friday the 13th talking about the offensive line.
You had to mention that date, didn't you? You had to mention that date. I avoided it on purpose, folks.
Oh, does that mean something? It's just Friday the 13th.
It,
I don't know.
It can mean something depending upon your frame of reference.
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you that it's a good point. You have to be patient. I think that there's something in the works here coming up soon. That's just my opinion. I have no – that doesn't come from any source, whatever. But I just feel that it's going to – you know, and by the way, you know, there's been a lot of talk about that offensive line and, you know, how good or how bad that they played last year. Obviously, the Giants feel like they've got some players on that line that they can go to bat with. So we'll see. We'll see about that.
Absolutely. All right, Joe, thank you
so
for the call.
Thank you for the call, gentlemen, and have a great weekend.
You too, Joe. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Line one, Gary in Virginia is next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Paul and Jeff. How you guys
What's up?
Doing?
How you doing today, Gary?
Good, good. A couple questions.
Sure.
One is I'd love to see the Giants go for Colin Jenkins. And the reason I say it is I feel like if you know, he's got the experience that he's been around and also defensive end and our third best transition. He could be a leader on the field. I don't think he's gotten picked up anywhere.
He's
right?
not gotten picked up, but I will tell you, I haven't seen Cullen since Baggy Day when the season ended. I don't know for sure if he plans on playing another season. Remember, he's been around for the better part of a decade, three teams, yeah. Eagles, Giants, Packers. I honestly don't know if he wants to play another year.
Okay.
So I know this. He's pretty darn healthy. I mean, when it comes to the bumps and bruises of the NFL, he's gotten out of the game pretty good if he decides to stop. Well, and there's value in that.
And I also believe that if he thinks he wants to continue to play, he's certainly not coming on a team right now. He's going to wait until the season, you know, the preseason is almost over, and then he can go to, you know, because although that, you know, we keep talking about how difficult the training camps are these days. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
But I feel, you know, they're still training camp. Okay,
yes.
Don't get me wrong. They're not. It's not, you know, patty cake football. It's long hours, and it's you know, it's tough.
Hot and humid.
Yeah, it's not as tough as it used to be, but I mean, it's still a grind.
So yeah, I mean, I would think this. I would think from the Giants' perspective, he was a good soldier. He was versatile, and he certainly knows the game and has the experience. So I would think that if they felt they were thin on the defensive line come the end of August, that would probably be a logical phone call.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't. I think that
I don't know.
I think that ship has sailed, and I don't know if that will happen again. But you know,
okay,
we'll see what happens.
The other question was, I think one of the most interesting competitions is the linebacker spot, because I feel like it's such an even field. I think,
yeah,
you know, Kennard probably has one spot, but I feel like the other two are pretty wide open. What would you guys guess is?
No question. There's no question. And I feel like the Giants have created that competition because they want improvement at that position. So rather than giving it to somebody, you're going to have to earn it. And, you know, them going out and drafting one, they're going out and getting some free agents from Washington. There's going to be a competition at that linebacking position. And I believe that the three guys that are going to be competing can be good players. Listen, we all know about Kennard. He's a good player. He just can't stay on the field.
Right.
You know,
right.
So if he has to learn, and he's talked a little bit about dropping some weight and training differently to get those hamstrings a little bit stronger so that he can withhold the long season and not miss time. And if that's the case, you know, that's good. And I believe that Kennard is going to get a shot to put his hand in the dirt this year. I just feel like, you know, in college he did it. With the lack of the depth, if you will, at that defensive end position, there's no reason why he can't do that.
They've got some versatility at the backer spot, too, because Robinson, who was signed from the Redskins, can play in or out. Mm-hmm. They picked up Shepard from the Dolphins, who's another guy who you know, they think can kind of move around a little bit. And then they drafted Goodson from Clemson, who is primarily a middle guy, but is also said to be able to play on the outside. So they really are in a position where the best guys are going to get on the field.
Fine, you know. And
don't forget JT Thomas, too. I mean, he's obviously, you know, a weak side guy.
Hello, and don't forget their leading tackler from last year either, who's now re-signed with the team.
Yeah, Jasper Brinkley.
Hello. Yeah. So, I mean, it's really setting up for a nice competitive spring and summer for that position.
By the way, Oani Unga, if you didn't see it in the last couple of days, he did get waived injured off the team. So I believe he was brought back on injured reserve, right, Dave? Did they put Unga on injured reserve, or was he totally jettisoned? He may have been jettisoned. We'll check on the technicality there. He was waived injured, though, just a couple of days ago. So he would be one guy, by the way, another one of those undrafted rookie free agents last year who came out of nowhere, made the team, had 50-something tackles,
started
a bunch of games, lived the dream.
Yeah.
And I'm glad for him because he was a really great guy, and it meant the world to him to be able to put on an NFL helmet. And hey, a lot of guys never get that chance. He had a year. And even got a chance to start. That's good. That's a good story. No matter what happens to the rest of his career, if he continues to play in the NFL, it's a good story he was able to play last year.
You look at Jasper Brinkley last year. I'm looking at his statistics. He played in 15 out of 16 games. He started 9 of them. Okay,
right.
And this is a guy that, you know, at this time of the year last year, he wasn't here. And so I think that, you know, that just goes to show you that he's coming off of a really nice year, and he's going to compete in there. So. You know, I look at Jasper Brinkley, look at Robinson, right, from Washington.
Yes.
I think those two guys are – and Kennard. I mean, those are your three guys that I would pencil in as the linebackers, but they're, you know, you got the young rookie that's going to spend time in there. Linebackers are great special teams players, so you can't have enough of them. I'm telling you, they are your bread and butter for that special team of those linebackers because they run and they can tackle.
Good stuff. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Got a comment here off Twitter, Jeff, I did want to get to. A gentleman named Will says, Giants tried to force Matt Dodge to directional punt too early, and it backfired on them. Is there such a thing as a punter has certain skills and you can't teach the old dog new tricks, although he was a young guy at the time, or are you not buying that excuse?
No, I think that one thing with Matt Dodge is he had one of the strongest, if not the strongest, legs I've ever seen. And so when you try to get a guy to put a little touch on things, then you're taking away his skill set a little bit. So they may have rushed into that a little bit, but you know, his problem, Matt Dodge's problem, was inconsistency and out-kicking his coverage. I mean, he could kick, you know, a 55, 60-yard punt every time if he wanted to, but that's not good in the NFL because, by the way, folks, I got to tell you this. The 10 guys, take the punter out of the equation. The 10 guys that are running down covering are not as good an athlete as the one guy that's returning.
trust him on that one.
I'm just telling you right now. So if you're kicking it down the middle of the field so far, you're rolling the dice, man. You're playing. I mean, just craps. It's just forget about it.
Oh, folks, remember, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Dave, our producers, confirmed for me that both Luani Unga and wide receiver Ben Edwards were waived, injured, and put on the IR list. So that's where they are for the time being. Edwards, of course, the young wide receiver last year, who had also gotten hurt, and they had some hopes for him, and then he couldn't stay on the field. As you've said, Jeff, and that's the one thing that people have to understand, too. What is it always said? Availability is your finest asset or something to that nature?
Well, that certainly is true.
I mean,
in this business.
You know, if you're in the trainer's room, you can't help the team win.
You can't make the club in the tub.
Yes, that's one of them. That's one of those sayings over the years that we have learned.
I'm telling you right now, as a player, you never wanted to be around the training room unless you had to get your ankles taped or anything like that. But, you know, you don't want to be in there because it doesn't look good.
That's for sure.
Some guys spend a little bit more time in the training room than they should, okay? And, you know, that's how guys, you know, organizations, and I'm not talking about just this organization. It's all the other 31 teams around the league. They want guys that are tough. They want guys that are going to, you know, play for the team and take one for the team and get out on the field. And, you know, if you can play, you play. But, you know, to milk these injuries, and a lot of them do, just to get that paycheck, it catches up to you. It really does. You start to get labeled as a guy that's not a tough dude. It's not a guy that's going to go out there and give it your all. You're just going to sit back and take that paycheck. Let me tell you, those guys are gone out of the league quickly.
Let me ask you something about, you were alluding to the fact that a veteran such as a Colin Jenkins, who may, you know, be interested in coming back, but, hey, you know, don't sign now because you don't have to go through all the stuff. Is there a danger, when you're talking about injuries, is there a danger in a veteran, even though he's working out on his own, through the spring and through the summer, of coming in late and then wind up tweaking something?
I think there is. But I think the one characteristic you have to look at is what is the propensity for this player to get hurt? Look at his past. I mean, has he been a guy that has, you know, maybe missed a game here or missed a game there, or is he a guy that's consistently every year is missing 4 or 5 or 6 games? I'm not going to sign a guy like that. I'm going to sign a guy, a veteran that's like that we just said, that plays a lot and is not injured a lot, and if he wants to take time off, I know that, because listen, it is a little bit of luck, Paul, but the guys that stay on the field, they're lucky, but they also are doing something different than these other guys. They're taking care of themselves. They're lifting and they're stretching and they're doing things off the field to keep them on the field. And I want to find that guy that, if he's that Colin Jenkins and he's that guy, I'll accept him, you know, towards the end of the preseason, but not a guy that's going to be hurt all the time or was hurt all the time. I'm not even going to take a chance on it. I'm not even do it.
201-939-4513 is our phone number here at Big Blue Kickoff Live. Paul Dottino and Jeff Fiegels with you to the top of the hour, talking Giants football. We hear a lot about fans asking about the offensive line, specifically the right side. Coach McAdoo alluded to it himself, that the story has yet to be written, which does indicate there's a plan, as you said yourself. What do you think, though, about the corner spot? The Giants have DRC, who has a tendency every once in a while to miss some time, some snaps, miss some games.
Yeah.
They signed Janoris Jenkins, obviously from the Rams, and they drafted Eli Apple. But beyond those guys, there's a lot of question marks what the Giants are going to do with their fourth, fifth, and they might keep as many as 6 corners. But right now, the most proven guy of that group is Trevin Wade, who played last year and was rather inconsistent.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why when Eli Apple was sitting on the board, that not only was it a – I think a lot of people think that, okay, you know, the Giants went a little bit too high to get him, but, you know, that was a need pick, and it was a good pick. I mean, he was a guy that, you know, that the Giants and Jerry Reese had said that this is he was our top-rated guy on the board at that point in time, but we needed a guy like that.
Yeah, so with a clean portfolio.
There's no question. So, but, yeah, Trevin Wade, and then, listen –
I mean, after that, it's a bunch of guys who really haven't proven anything in this
league. But they're going to have to compete, you know, and maybe we're going to see some, you know, some switching around at some of these players, you know, Mikal Thompson, maybe they move him to a corner. Does Bennett Jackson get moved again back out to cornerback?
Yeah. You know, played it in Notre Dame.
You never know. So I think that, you know, with the roster where it's at with all the safeties, maybe they're thinking that maybe one or two of these guys can maybe back up at a corner position and you know, some of these other guys, they got to step up. They got to step up because, yeah, you know, six, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
But you got to have them.
And the way that corners have been hurt on this team in the last 5 years, don't you almost have to lean to try to keep six?
I believe so. It just depends on, you know, at the time when it comes up with that 53-man roster, you know, every team goes through this this type of situation. It's like, yeah, I want to keep six corners, but guess what? I can't because I have to keep, you know, eight defensive linemen or, you know, the numbers game it gets into.
Sure.
So it's just where can we hide a guy or where can we keep a guy here? Do we keep seven linebackers or we kick six? You know, whatever it is, it all comes down to the injuries.
Well, of course, that's why you want safeties and corners to be able to, if they
can,
play
both.
That's a good thing. Yeah. Hey, Larry Michael, Washington Redskins radio play-by-play guy, legendary man around the NFL, joins us on the program on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Larry, Paul Dottino and Jeff Fiegel's with you. Thanks so much for taking some time today.
Hi, Larry.
How y'all doing today?
Well, good.
We're having fun, man. You got rookie minicamp going on up here. And, hey, it is football 24-7 now, 12 months out of the year. There's no time off. Who's kidding who?
No, I know I haven't gotten any time off, I can tell you that. I've been here just constantly at Redskins Park, and I just finished talking to one of our rookies. And it's, you know, it's this kind of time that you guys know, you meet these kids, and they have their rookie mini camp. And as the weeks progress, you can identify who's going to make a contribution and who's not. And from the Redskins' point of view, you know, optimistic with the guys they drafted, a few undrafted free agents they signed. You really never know, though, until you get to training camp. But, hey, the calendar is year-round in the NFL, no doubt about that.
Now, up here in New York, there haven't been a lot of headlines, or at least the perspective of the New Yorker is that there are not a lot of headlines coming out of Redskins camp this year like there were last year when there was the whole quarterback situation. To your viewpoint, what are one or two of the most exciting things that are happening around the Redskins roster these days?
Well, I think any conversation about the Redskins roster has to center around the general manager who's in his second year, Scott McLuhan, and the real elation with what happened last year in terms of some of the draft picks and some of the people the team picked up along the way that helped them win the division. But injuries were a big factor on the football team, as they were with the Giants. And so the second year under Scott McLuhan, what we think is a pretty good draft, and again, you don't know until you see these guys. I think the fact the team has really improved its team speed over the last couple of years, the obvious age issue with the team, a much younger football team now. And then, you know, you have a couple of star quality issues here. You got the quarterback, Kirk Cousins, coming off what was a record-breaking year. You know, I work with Sonny Jurgensen every Sunday during the games, and, you know, it was hard for him to see Kirk break some of his records. how can he follow that year? And, you know, and he's going to be, you know, obviously there's a lot of money on the line for him, notwithstanding the fact that he wants to win. And so there's a lot of focus on him. And the fact that Josh Norman kind of fell in the Redskins' lap into a position that had really not been one of the stronger positions on the team, and it really did impact their draft, I believe. I'm almost certain they would have looked to maybe a corner a little bit earlier in the draft than they did. But, you know, Josh Norman came on board the week before the draft. It was like you got a number one pick who's got experience, one of the best in the league. So it took a position that was, you know, on paper, a position of need into a position that looked pretty strong. So as you might imagine, there's a lot of optimism coming off of last year. But as we all know, and you guys have been around a long time, you know, it's a year-to-year thing. We can look at the schedule and we can pick our own W's and L's. It never turns out right, does it?
No, it doesn't.
You know, you look at, you know, offensively, the Redskins, and, you know, with Kirk Cousins having the year he had last year, I'm sure a lot of the fans in the organization are hoping he does it again. We hope he doesn't really have that great of a year, but that's okay. But I will tell you, you know, you lost Alfred Morris. You pick up a new receiver in Josh Doctson, who I think a lot of people feel is one of the best receivers in the draft. The re-sign of Jordan Reed, which, by the way, Paul and I sit together during the games, and every time the Redskins, he's on the field against the Giants, we look at each other and going, do we have anybody that can cover this guy? I mean,
he's Jason Witten-like against the Giants.
Oh,
I'll tell you that.
So, you know, offensively, I feel like, you know, there's a lot of buzz in there. But, you know, defensively, in my mind, when we were looking at the Redskins and where their weaknesses were, they don't really were not addressed in the draft at that defensive line position and the safety, correct?
Well, I mean, it's that, again, on paper, you're right. You look at it, you do have some things that have evolved here. They picked up a couple guys for the defensive line. They didn't re-sign Pot Roast Terrence Knighton. That was the decision the team had to make in terms of was it worth it to pay him, to have him back after last year. It did a pretty good job. He kind of rounded himself into shape by the end of the year. But one thing that's kind of been overlooked is one of the outside linebackers, Trent Murphy, who is now in his third year, has been moved to the defensive line. Take a look at the roster. He's listed as a defensive end now. So there's hope that he's going to be able to help that position. Inside linebacker has a player by the name of Martell Sprait, who didn't get a chance to play last year. He was a draft pick last year. He got injured early. He's been 100% for the last 10 months, so he's raring to go. This guy, Steven Daniels, a draft pick out of BC, who is, you know, obviously not the biggest, strongest guy, but a guy they're going to expect to maybe step in there. You're right, and the safety position has not been bolstered as much as you'd like, but there's been some movement of some players. And again, maybe some guys you never heard of. DeShazer Everett, who was a standout special teams player for the Redskins last year, is going to play some safety. You know, again, on this end, the hope of D'Angelo Hall being able to play some safety. And we know that, you know, things are going to happen over the next couple of months as we head to training camp that will clarify the way this looks. And, again, you can look at it on paper. And the Redskins last year, the defense was not ranked highly. And to comment on what you had said earlier, I can't see statistically, and the law of averages, Kirk Cousins, it's going to be very, very difficult for him to repeat that year statistically. Mm-hmm. So if this team wants to improve this year, they have to improve on the defensive side of the football, and they have to improve the running game. Those are the two areas that if you improve in those two areas sufficiently, you might be able to take another step up. If that doesn't happen, we know it's going to be a dogfight in the NFC East, right down the wire. It is every year. But the Redskins' defense definitely has to improve, have to improve their red zone defense. They have to improve their turnover ratio, even though it did improve last year over the way it was the year before. But they've got work to do on the defensive side. They believe they've done enough, and, you know, time will tell.
Hey, Larry, you know, we got the Giants have picked up Keenan Robinson in free agency this year. What type of a player for the Giants fans are we getting in Keenan Robinson?
Well, I'll tell you what you're getting. First of all, you're getting a real class act, and he's a real strong, willed, a real good person. And talk about character, guys. There is zero negative to say about Keenan Robinson. A lot of positives about his personality, his leadership ability. And he can run sideline to sideline as well as just about anybody. He's a very athletic linebacker. Issues with Keenan over the last couple of years have been some nagging injuries, hasn't been on the field enough to really grow as a player. I think there's a big upside to Keenan Robinson. I think with this organization, I think it came time for him to change venues. Hate to see a guy to go to a division rival, just like I hated to see Alfred Morris go to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
It's the way it is these days. I think you got a good football player in Keenan Robinson. You've got a great person in Keenan Robinson. And, you know, Giants fans will like the way he plays. He's very athletic, again, sideline to sideline. But you'd like to see him out on the field for 16 games. If you're a fan of Keenan Robinson, that's what you're looking for because that's what was lacking here.
Well, the Giants hope they can duplicate the success they had when they signed Antonio Pierce as a free agent off of the Redskins roster several years ago. And if Robinson can do anything like what Antonio Pierce did, the Giants will be thrilled. Larry Michael, Redskins radio play-by-play guy and, of course, host of all Redskins media shows, joining us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Larry, you mentioned about the defensive issues. It seems to me this division – Dallas's defense, not very good. Giants defense in the process of rebuilding. Redskins defense, questions. That's the one thing that Philadelphia, to me, has over the other three teams in the division. And even though they're changing coaching staffs and changing philosophies, and they've shuffled a bunch of players, and God knows what their quarterback thing is going to be like, if Bradford could even stay on the field, it seems to me that if you believe in defense being the key to winning, they might have a small leg up because they've got the best defense. Would you agree or no?
You know what? I think it's too early to tell. I look at these teams every year, and you guys do the same thing, and there's just no way of predicting it. I can look at the Giants and having done the play-by-play for years and having been a fan living in D.C. and all the things I've done, you know, in my career watching the Giants, they always had that outstanding front four. The front four of the Giants always used to kill the Redskins. It's kind of evolved away from that a little bit for New York.
Yeah.
But that's always what my mind is. Giants got a front four, and that's what you got to – I've always been fearful of it, even if they didn't have the talent, because that's what I'm conditioned. So it wouldn't shock me to see the Giants' defensive line become a strength again, because that's what's always been their strength. So you look at these various teams. I mean, Philadelphia, I think that's a work in progress because of the way that roster had been constructed over the last 2 years and the purge that has taken place. Then I'm the Redskin guy, so I'm going to give you all the reasons the Redskins.
I get it. That's cool.
You guys got to do the same. You know, that's how we do it. But I'm wondering about Philly. You know, that seems to me like to be the most difficult situation in the division. Dallas, you know, they've taken some risks. They've taken some risks on pass rushers that haven't worked out. They picked the linebacker out of Notre Dame. I mean, I don't think he's going to even play this year. And Sean Lee's been banged up over the years. He seems to be their best defensive player. I don't know. I mean, is their defense that much improved? And the Giants, again, I'm always thinking the Giants' front four pass rush always going to be their strength. Linebackers, too. Secondary has really needed some depth over the last couple of years. And the Redskins don't have the perfect defense either. So is it going to be a matter of who scores the most points? You know, traditionally defense wins. For years I worked with a guy that you're very familiar with by the name of Sam Huff.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Love
yeah.
Sam.
One of the great linebackers in Giants history and Redskins history, one of the best players to ever. He always talked about defense wins, offense sells tickets.
Right.
And I do believe that still to be the case. But if you're in a division that none of the defenses look to be top five defenses.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Whoever scores the most points is going to win. So there'll be some interesting matchups. And, of course, between the Redskins and Giants, you now also have the sidebar of the wide receiver against the corner.
Yeah.
Which
the corner
doesn't really want to talk about it too much. I don't know if the wide receiver's talking about it. I'm
not at all, Larry. Not at all. He's avoiding it like the plague. And you know what?
Yeah.
After what happened last year with Josh Norman with Carolina, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, I know. I think Josh don't want to talk about it either because, you know, at times it wasn't the classiest of things happening.
No.
But having said that, you're going to see it twice this year. You're not going to see it once.
Well, September 25th will be the first one. I'm looking up at the board here. It's the first game, and it's at home here in New York, so that'll be interesting.
And then the end of the season for the finale, too.
Yeah,
you know, Larry.
A lot on the line for that. It just having gotten a chance to know Josh here, and he's a real solid person, instant leader, outstanding player. We know his skills on the field, and he has not wanted to define his career by virtue of those matchups with Beckham.
Sure.
So, I mean, these are things we're going to be looking forward to, calling the games and in the preparation of these games. And you know it's going to come down to that matchup, you know. It will be high drama, that's for sure.
Well, there's no question it's going to be drama because if not us, every one of our other media brethren are going to fill that entire pregame week with the Beckham-Norman thing. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to want to get to the X's and the O's, and everyone's going to want to talk about those two guys. It's going to be quite suffocating. Larry Michael, Redskins radio and television down there in D.C., thank you so much for taking time to talk to us today.
Thank you, Larry.
All right, fellas. Talk to you all soon.
We'll get you again soon, Larry. Larry Michael, longtime NFL voice, doing a great job down in D.C., and he mentioned two great guys, Sonny Jurgensen, who I've had the pleasure of meeting many times.
Sam
great guy. And Sam, oh, my goodness, Hall of Fame legend. He and Dick Lynch were best buddies. So I got to know Sam through Dick and miss him terribly now that he's officially retired. He's been out of Redskins, out of the booth now for a couple of years, and we certainly wish him all the best in his retirement. Well, Jeff, that about does it. We're done.
That's a wrap. You got a little take on the Washington Redskins. They sound like they're a little excited, but it doesn't sound like they're jumping.
Well, he's got defensive questions.
Yes. Like the whole NFC East, to be honest with you. And, you look at the Cowboy games last year, the Giants, it was who's going to score the most points there last year. That's how it worked. But I think that the Giants defense is slowly being put together, put it back. And I think you're going to see a distinct difference between a year or two of Coach Spagnuolo's defense and some really good offseason acquisitions. Too.
One thing he said, always being wary of the Giants' front four. Well, JPP is back, and guess what? He's got somebody named Olivier Vernon with him.
Yep,
that's not a bad way to start.
And don't forget the big snacks in the middle with the healthy Hankins coming back. So I think that's a very formidable start. I want to see the competition at that second level for linebackers. And like Larry had said, with Robinson, if he can stay on the field along with Kennard, get those guys to play a lot of games, then that defense can hold itself together. And the addition of, drafted safety in the third round, you got a new cornerback in free agency, you got a first rounder, things are looking up.
Good stuff. Big Blue Kickoff Live is here on Giants.com live every Monday to Friday from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Jot down the number 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. You are at Jay Feagles.
At Jay Feagles. That's me.
That's his Twitter. Mine's at Giants WFAN. You can hit us up there anytime you like. You don't have to wait till the show comes on. We'll see you again next time. So long, everybody.